Welcome to the Wine and Spirit Education Trust From Still to Bar Rum podcast. My name is Will Lowe. I'm a spirits tutor at the Wine and Spirit Education Trust, also master distiller at the Cambridge Distillery. I'm joined today by Marion Edmund, head bartender at Mark's Bar, Hickster Bankside. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Will.
It's a pleasure. And today we're going to be chatting through all things rum. Firstly, we thought a brief introduction as to what rum is would be a good place to start. Rum is a spirit distilled from sugarcane juice or byproducts of sugar production, such as molasses. It's a huge category, so it's sometimes useful to divide it down into subcategories, including white rum, golden rum, dark rum, and spiced rum. First, a word about the history. After sugarcane had been imported into Spain from Asia in the 14th century, it was taken over to the Caribbean by Spanish conquistadors. To maximise their return on investment, sugar producers started to make rum from the byproducts at the end of sugar production. Rum production has taken place in the Caribbean for over 400 years now. Although the Caribbean remains the heartland of rum production, it is now produced throughout the world. There are many different rum-producing countries, and because no one legal authority controls the definitions of rum, there are many different styles available. It has rich naval connections, which has led to the production of navy-strength rums, of which we'll talk more later. In terms of production, we have choices available in selection of the base material. Rum can be made either from sugarcane juice or from a byproduct of sugar refining, molasses. Molasses is the most common ingredient used. After distillation takes place in either a pot or column still, some rums can be matured in oak barrels. The categories include white rum, which is popular for use in cocktails and relatively neutral in character. Golden rum is often aged in oak barrels and as a result develops an extra layer of complexity and intensity. Dark rums tend to be full-bodied and sweet. They're often aged in oak barrels and also have colouring added. Spiced rum is usually based on golden rum and has various spices and herbs added to increase the complexity. Of course, within these four categories, there's an awful lot of blending takes place, and indeed many of the styles of rum have come about through blending themselves. So, Marion, what are the main flavours that you look for when you're looking through each of these categories?
With a light rum, you're looking for something clean, you're looking for something fresh. They've always got a lovely sweetness, and it's more along like a honeyed type of sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
With the darker rums, you tend to get more of the vanilla, the like cinnamon. It's from being aged in the oak barrels, so they take on some of those vanilla characteristics.
And what do you use these different styles of rum for?
Light rums I tend to use a lot in cocktails. I mean, if you think about the rum cocktails that you get asked for on a daily basis in a bar, you ask people to name their top three, you're going to get Mojito, Cuba Libre, Daiquiri.
Mm-hmm.
They're all light rum-based things. And I think that's a popularity of that kind of Spanish-style, like Cuban rum kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're the ones that are really familiar. I use Havana 3, which is one of the ones you've tried today, in a slightly different way. Because Hicks is a British seasonal restaurant, you get asked for a lot of, it's like, can I make something? I mean, you're looking at a category of rum cocktails. It's a load of, like, pineapple, coconut. And I'm like, well, I really can't grow a pineapple within the M25.
It's not traditional British seasonal fare.
So it's really not traditional British seasonal fare. So you kind of have to think outside the box a little bit more and go back to the actual flavours of the rum.
Right.
And what we're using in this drink that I'm thinking about is, it's called Smile Chamomile. It's a very girly name for a very girly drink. But it's a chamomile and sage syrup, the Havana 3, a little bit of soda, a dash of green chartreuse and some apple juice.
Sounds delicious.
So what we're doing is, like, you're taking the feel of that, something like a mojito, and your citrus, your sugar, your herbal, and then translating it to a much more contemporary British feel.
And you chose specifically to use a white rum for that?
Yeah, I chose specifically to use a white rum for that because if you are using a dark rum, what I'm trying to bring through is those light flavours like the chamomile and the sage and those herbal notes.
Right.
And a darker rum would overpower that.
Okay. So what are the kind of drinks that you'd be making with a dark rum?
Depends what kind of dark rum. Like a golden type rum, you're looking at your more traditional, your Mai Tais, which is, again, it's wonderful.
Mm.
You know, your Orgeat, Triple Sec, like, I don't want to go into the debate over who created the Mai Tai because I don't want to come down on either side of the fence.
And I've been told we have a 20-minute limit here.
Yeah, I don't think we need to spend the next 20 minutes arguing about who created that drink. But it's a wonderful one to go for. And you can use something like our house wine would use the Appleton VX
mm-hmm.
for that. So it's got a little bit more power behind it. It's less grassy, certainly, than a light rum or an unaged rum. It's just got a bit more backbone.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're starting to get those vanilla notes, and you're starting to get a little bit of caramel. I mean, one of the things I do love about the rums rum in general, and do find something quite tricky to work with in cocktails, is getting the balance with those spirits, because they have their own inherent sweetness.
Yes.
Much, much more so than something like tequila or gin.
Mm.
Tequila's totally different issue with it, because it's got such vegetal characteristics. If you're using vodka or gin, you've got a much more neutral base to work from, which is, I think, why people tend to gravitate towards using those.
Right.
If you're using a dark rum, you've got to find the flavours that complement it. And with a dark rum, I'd want the lime in it. I'd want that cut of the citrus and maybe something nutty.
Right. And you use the word balance when you're talking about Appleton, and I think really Appleton is a product of balance.
Appleton's is wonderfully balanced.
Yeah, 15 different stills that they're operating there,
yeah.
A combination of column stills and pot stills. So in glass number one, when we were looking at the Havana Club, that's a very clean style of production from column still. Moving into glass number two with the Appleton Estate, we see the combination. So there's that heavy style that we get
from the pot stills, and then they've got the lighter cuts from their column stills.
Excellent.
And they've done the balancing act for you.
Brilliant.
Already, so you can use that as your base.
Right.
And then all you have to do is not mess up the rest of what you're doing with your idea. Is just carry that through.
And then the third rum that you've chosen for us today. Do you want to introduce that?
Yeah, it's Smith & Cross. So it's a very traditional Jamaican rum. There's a lot of pot still power going on there. And what you find with a few of the Jamaican rums is that they're using something called dunder.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are more familiar from looking things from a beer point of view, in London it's kind of inescapable at the moment, the craft beer movement.
Right.
You've probably heard the term like sour mash before, so it's the same kind of idea. And you're getting, with those, you start to get the really more powerful flavours coming through, and you start to get a lot of what's called esters. So that's the, obviously if you're making a rum, there is no pineapple or banana or whatever involved, but you start to get those top notes. And this is just a wonderful example of a rum that I wouldn't necessarily use in a lot of my cocktails, because I think it's something that you could just sit and enjoy by itself.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the directions in which rum consumers are moving, is looking more to using rums like this and using them for something like an old-fashioned or Manhattan. There is a proper name for that, but it's, you know, if you're using those and you're not adulterating them too much.
So showcasing the spirit
You are just showcasing the spirit. You don't need these spirits, you really don't need to hide them. This particular rum, if you're looking for something to do with it that you're not going to drink it, one of my bartenders made her Christmas cake with about two bottles of Smith & Cross in it. And it was one of the best things I've ever tasted in my life.
That sounds very dangerous.
It probably was. None of us got very much of it. I mean, if you're going to think about a rum like this, it's like a Christmas cake.
Yeah.
You've got all the dried fruit, you've got all the nuts, all of that kind of, like, you get nutmeg and vanilla and cinnamon as you're sipping it.
Yes.
Yeah, the best way I can describe it to you, if you've not drunk this kind of rum before, is, like, think of what your Christmas cake tastes like.
This is coming both from the distillation methods and the maturation that they've used.
Yeah.
So pot stills, heavy marks, Plummers and Wedderburns in there,
yeah,
as well as extended oak maturation.
Yeah.
Traditionally, when we're looking at Jamaican rums in particular, they favour the pot still there. There's really heavy styles of spirit that comes off those stills, as you mentioned in your sort of tasting notes there. And they get used for blending so often that they've developed a scale for determining the level of esters that are available there.
Exactly.
So I believe it's predominantly Plummers and Wedderburn that go into the Smith & Cross. Which is what, in fact, yes, there you go, well pointed out. It does, for those of you that can't see the bottle, say Plummer and Wedderburns on the label.
On the label, just in case you need some guidance.
And that's what gives this such a rich mouthfeel, as well as that intensely tropical fruit flavour from the fusel oils.
Like I said, with the esters, you're getting those tropical fruits. You're getting your banana and your pineapple. But then with the heavier marks, you're also getting fusel oils. You're getting a bit more of the tail end of the spirit. So you're getting a little bit more of that you're getting a slightly more oily feel.
Yes, from the heavier alcohols.
From the heavier alcohols in your spirit.
Yeah.
So it's going to feel heavier in your mouth than something like Havana.
And I can see you enthusing about this. So when we start talking about the future of rum, is this the direction that you see things going?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think, I mean, again, you talked at the very beginning about the history of rum and how it's, there's no one legal authority that's defining it. If you don't know what you're looking for, it can make it a bit of a nightmare choosing something, because it's not like with scotch or whatever that you'd have the minimum age statement has to be the youngest whiskey in the blend that's in on the bottle. So the best way to learn about rum is to try rum.
Okay. Well, it's a job, but someone has to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a huge style and obviously a lot of tasting to be done to sort of determine the next path of the way through.
It's so broad because, I mean, sugar cane's a grass, so it grows absolutely everywhere. And anywhere that has produced sugar in the last 400 years probably also has a style of rum for that country to a degree.
And then in terms of the service of the rum, moving away from cocktails that hide the rum and into ones that celebrate it more?
Yeah, I mean, even with your light rum cocktails, like your daiquiri, if it's made properly, like just rum, lime, sugar, shake it till it's really, really cold. It's one of the best drinks you could have. There's nothing wrong with ordering a mojito. But with rum, you have the whole spectrum. You have absolutely every bit of in between. So if you find something you really love, you can always find something to work with that. And of course, there's the incredibly fun side of all your tiki bars.
Yeah.
And the drinks that you think about when you imagine you're on a beach, that's probably got rum in it. I used to work in Bermuda and the signature drinks there are like rum swizzles and dark and stormies.
Yeah.
So that's Gosling's 151. It's like 63% ABV.
Mm-hmm.
It's and ginger beer, lime and Angostura bitters. And these are drinks that I think about having at the end of a really tropical night, potentially on a boat. So these drinks and these styles of drinks transport you to other places.
Yeah.
And that's one of the really magical things about using rum in your drinks.
It does sound magical. I think we should go to Bermuda and drink rum for the next podcast that we'll inevitably be funded to do through the WSET. So within these different styles of rum that we've got available, we're seeing a trend towards premiumisation. Can you explain a bit about what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can. I think you're moving away from only seeing your four or five familiar rum brands on a back bar, and you're certainly moving to having them as maybe an after-dinner drink. I mean, I've got a few on mine that I would sell as a premium sipping spirit. Like, we've got the Ronza Kappa XO, which is, admit it, it's very much at the higher end of things. But it's got that wonderful sweetness that you would maybe find in bourbon or so and so forth that people traditionally associate with I'm sitting down.
Right.
I've finished my meal, I'm unbuttoning my belt, I'm going to chill out in an armchair for a while.
Right.
And I'm getting more and more people asking about my rum selection and being able to offer those things. Like, yeah, your Ronza Kappa, so it's a South American rum. Your Eldorados, so your 12 or 15-year-olds. And those are something that you can definitely sit and enjoy by itself. In terms of cocktails and sipping cocktails with rum, one of our better sellers is called it's a Mr. President. It's not an El Presidente. It's not that. It's not the traditional one. But we're using Havana 7, Grand Marnier, a bit of sweet vermouth and orange bitters, and that's very very much it's a sipping drink for after dinner.
So we're moving from the cocktail bar and over to the dinner table.
Yeah, and that's it. It can completely translate.
Marion, thank you so much for joining us and talking through all things rum.
No problem, Will. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. If you'd like to learn more about rum and any other spirits, courses are available through the WSET. Please visit wsetglobal.com for more information.